On this episode of Off Course Agility, my guest is Terry Tedesco from Maryland. My guest on this episode of Off Course Agility is Terry Tedesco from Maryland. Did I pronounce your last name right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, thank you, Terry. Welcome to my podcast.
Thank you. This is exciting.
And now I have not met you. I often say that when I'm talking to someone I've never met. And you are not currently really a NADAC competitor. And my podcast has been focused more on NADAC, but you do CPE. So I'd like to ask first, could you tell me what are the differences you see it between CPE and NADAC, since you have done NADAC in the past?
Oh, well, NADAC is very much about speed and distance. And, you know, the greater distance that you have with your dog, the better that you're going to do. The some of the obstacles are different, obviously, and the courses are different. Many of the CPE courses are a little more similar to AKC than NADAC. To me, actually, NADAC stands out from the pack of different venues that you can run. And I enjoy NADAC. Two of my first two agility dogs did a lot of NADAC. Actually, my second agility dog, she just blossomed in NADAC. She loved it. And the dog that I run now, Hux, we trained, his beginning training career started with Poisaz, which is the NADAC club here. Debbie Hutchinson is the, she runs that program.
Right. And she definitely does. I know I've seen her at NADAC trials.
Oh, absolutely. She's a force to be reckoned with. And she, my second agility dog trained there as well. So that's how I met Debbie and got the benefit of her wisdom. And so we started doing NADAC, but then I realized the longer I did, I started with my third dog, Hux, doing NADAC as well as CPE at the same time. And I just felt like I knew that I wanted to try AKC. And so after I did, I realized that AKC and CPE were a little more similar for handling skills. So right. Because, you know, okay, there are only so many weekends in a year that you could do these trials, I just felt like if I was going to pick two, that those would be the two that probably would complement each other.
I certainly understand that based on budget and everything else.
Oh, sure. And he did NADAC. Hux did NADAC, and he's a fast little sucker as long as I'm running with him. His distance still isn't the greatest thing in the world. It's still not where I would like it to be. So it's, you know, we just aspire to distance.
Okay. I actually have broken with my normal form here in my podcast, and I didn't start with my normal first question. So I'm going to ask you that now, and then we'll go back a bit to the CPE. How did you discover agility? How did you first find agility and get going in it?
Well, it was probably about 16 years ago. I was trying to think back, and my very first agility dog was named Picasso. And she was a mixed breed that she was the size of a Sheltie, but had floppy ears. And when she was a puppy, even the veterinarians thought that she was a baby border collie. She was a rescue. And so I, you know, of course, started obedience and that kind of thing. And the club that I was taking her to for obedience, they had agility, and I had always been fascinated with agility. I never knew, you know, how the people I saw on TV, how they learned it or how they could, you know, where does it start? You know? So the fact that they had agility there was just fascinating. And So the obedience instructor said, you know, you should, she's a, you know, very well-behaved dog. She's easy to train. You should try. And so I signed up for agility class. And as you know, it's not a very far road to, you train them, you know, your first trial, you get your first taste of something and you go, oh, wow, this is awesome. And so we continued. And then I got a second rescue after that. She was a much bigger dog. They said they thought her mother was part Aussie. And so she was built tall and long and lean. And so I think that's why NADAC was her jam. She soared.
Right. Okay. And I don't know if you mentioned how long ago was it that you first started with that first rescue dog?
I want to say probably 2000. So she was born in 2001. So I think maybe 2003 or four.
Okay.
Yeah. That we started training. I don't think my first trial wasn't until about 2005 or six.
Right. Okay. It's funny. Quite a few people I've talked to are around that 2005. And that was probably the year I went to my first trial, back when I had my first beagle, Dino. Anyway, similarities between some of my guests that many of them have started around that same time period.
Well, as when, yeah, I did. And so she would have been what, 18? She died when she was 15, but I notice now, you know, being whether it's on social media or at trials, of course, there are people who are now also on their, you know, third or fourth agility dog that I've known since Picasso was little. And you know, so it is strange how, you know, all of a sudden it seems like all of her contemporaries are passing away. And, right. You know, and that's sort of the sad side of agility, is that you not only love your dog, but you get to love all these other dogs.
Right.
And it hits you hard sometimes, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing with dogs. They don't live long enough.
No.
Yeah. But you do get to enjoy more than one, then, I guess, is the positive way to look.
It's true.
Look at it. So, all right. So going back to CPE, which is kind of what you're doing now. CPE, they have a teeter, right?
Yes.
That's one of the obstacles that's different that NADAC doesn't have.
Yes.
Is there... I think everybody got rid of the chute, right?
Yes. CPE got rid of it the same year that AKC did. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Is there other obstacles that you do in CPE that...
Well, they do a... Some judges do a broad jump.
Oh, broad jump. Yep.
And the first time that... And that's very, what, USDAA. I forgot to tell you, I did USDAA also with the first two dogs. Okay. But anyway... The very first trial we did with the broad jump, Hux was only, it was the very beginning of his trialing career. And I was like, okay, we'll try. I don't remember ever doing it in class. I don't remember. So naturally he ran across it like it was a bridge. But a lot of the dogs did. And yeah. And it seemed like when they got rid of the chute, the judges were pulling out some obstacles that, you know, weren't as common to see,
right,
in,
okay,
trials. Yeah. So now CPE has also it sort of instituted a jump wall or a wall of some sort. And
right, okay.
So
is that the one that's like made of foam bricks, kind of?
It looks sort of. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so we came across it at a trial. He had no problem with it. You know, I can certainly see some dogs that, you know, would run up to it like, whoa,
yeah,
I've never seen anything like this before. But he did it like it was no problem. And what happened was, in CPE, there are a lot of games in CPE. So what I did was, when we had a game that made up, or, you know, where we could make up our own course, I made him take it a couple times so that when it was in this, if it was in the standard course, then, you know, he had seen it. So
right. Yeah. Well, the, and CPA does, I mean, the foam wall or whatever that's called, does CPA have a panel jump too?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Which AKC has also.
Right.
Yeah. See, I train at a facility that definitely is a little more AKC-ish. So occasionally we do the broad jump. We don't do that foam wall thing too often, but I have seen it once with my current dog, Trace, who's just a baby dog in a way. And so I was just curious what the difference is. Do they use the tire jump?
No, they took that out a couple years ago as well. But AKC still does it. So fortunately for me, right. Hux had already trained in doing a tire in his career. So.
Right. Okay. No, I was just curious what the differences is. And you mentioned it there just a little bit. I know CPE has a lot of other, like NADAC has its games, but I know CPE has some games. Why don't you tell me just a bit about the games real quick?
Well, Jumpers is a game. So that's one.
Okay. Well, that's similar. I would imagine that's similar to NADAC
Jumpers. It's exactly. It's, you know, jumps and tunnels. Yes. That's pretty much it. And then there is Full House, which depending on your level, you have to earn a certain number of points. And within those points, you have to have 3 ones, 2 threes, and 1 5. The ones are all jumps. Threes are all round. Well, now it's just tunnels. And sometimes they'll put in like a double or something that can be used as a three, because the threes used to be the tunnels and a tire. And now that they don't have the tire anymore, sometimes they'll substitute another obstacle for a three. And then the fives are always the contacts.
Okay. So it's a point-based thing that you have to kind of learn what the points are and then get to so many points, I guess.
Yes. And then there's a game called Wild Card, and you run a course, and at three different sections of the course, there's a choice of two different obstacles. One of the obstacles is a little more difficult to either get to from where you are, or, you know, where it's a difficult obstacle to do. Inevitably, one of those obstacles is a set of weave poles, because some dogs don't like those. And so you have to choose, depending on your level, the harder levels you have to do, they call them A and B. The choices are always A and B. So like if you're at 3A or B, you have to choose one. And in the higher levels, you have to do two B's and an A, because the B's are always the harder of the two. And then so that's Wild Card. And then there is Jackpot, which is a lot like Chances in NADAC, except you run around and make your own points before a buzzer rings. And then there's a distance challenge.
Okay. And you mentioned a buzzer. Is there always some sort of, is the buzzer only for that game? Because I do remember going to a CPA trial once and I was like, what is that buzzer?
Okay. So yes and no. So there's a buzzer in Jackpot, and the buzzer always means that you have to then start the closing. So that's just like gamblers in USDAA. They do that same thing. You know, it's time to now start this closing. So there is a buzzer, and then there's a final buzzer that if you hear it, it means that you are already, it's like 5 or 6 seconds over time. They only have that final buzzer. I still don't understand why, to tell you the truth. It might be, I don't know why.
Don't worry about it. I know you're not. I just, because you do CPA, I was trying to get a feel for it.
In Full House, they have a buzzer, but the buzzer means get to the table. The buzzer means you have, I think it's 5 seconds to get to the table, and then they start taking off points for any time that you're over at the table. But I'll tell you what was super helpful to me. I'm trying to remember which instructor taught me this. Do you remember Connie Miller from back in the day? Armadillo. She had Keeson's.
I can't say that I do.
Okay, well, Connie was one of my first instructors, and I remember her teaching us way, way back that to play these games, any of them, snooker, gamblers, you know, any of the strategy games, the best thing that you can do is teach yourself how many obstacles your dog can do in 30 seconds. Because planning your course, you always want to plan to be near whatever it is that you're ending, whether it's a closing sequence or, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
Because at the start, you always get 30 seconds, and then usually the finish is like 30 and some change, 35. It depends on the length of the course. But right. That was something very valuable that I use to this day. And it's usually roughly correct.
Okay. Well, that's a good tip for anyone listening who's doing CPE.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Gamblers has, NADOC has Gamblers now, which, you know, you only have a certain amount of time. So, and you need to rack up so many points.
Right.
It's a little similar, I guess.
Yeah.
But you definitely need to keep track of the time, because if you start going over the allocated time, then you're losing like 2 points a second or something like that.
Right.
And, anyway. I've never been big with the strategy games, because up until just recently, NADAC really didn't have any. So that is the difference I'm getting a bit between CPE and NADAC. I mean, NADAC now has the Gamblers, but these others sound like there's a little bit of strategy in the games too.
Mm-hmm. CPE has snooker as well. And, you know, USDAA has had snooker forever, so.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So now you've mentioned some of your dogs, but, and I know you mentioned Picasso was a mixed breed. Mm-hmm. What's your current pack, or the pack you most recently have had?
Well,
what kind of dogs are you running? What breed?
Papillons. Well, my older Papillon, he is the one that does agility. My other Papillon, I tried to train him in agility, but he's kind of let me know, not really my favorite thing. And so he doesn't do agility, but they're both rescues. They came from an organization called Papillon Haven, and just, they're not related biologically, but just by happenstance, they're both from Texas. So yeah. I went to Texas to get them, and they were young. Hux was only about 10 months old when I found him. And so they're a joy. They really are a joy.
And how old is Hux now? Did you tell me that?
He just turned 7 last weekend, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
So
kind of in the prime.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And what I normally ask people, you know, have they taken their dogs to NADAC Champs? But your dog has been more focused on CPE.
Right.
So do they call nationals, right? CPE calls theirs a national?
Yes, they call theirs nationals, and they're held in various locations in the country. We're going to go this year, but the way life has put a pause on a lot of things, we didn't go, obviously. But they're usually in the early summer or late May, early June. And in 2019, we went to CPE Nationals in Wisconsin, and he did very, very well. It was not 3 days of running, 9 runs. He queued 8 times. He was in the level C, which is the highest level where you can't make any mistakes. So his runs all had to be perfect. And in the
C for clean.
C for, there's this other title, the CPE Agility Team Extraordinaire. And so that's after you get a catch, which is like the Natch or the Mock or the, I don't know what it is in USDA. After you get a catch, which is the championship, you can do this other level, which takes a lot longer. It's a lot more runs, and it's just, it's the highest level that CPE offers. So he was running at level C. So there were 252 dogs that ran at his level, and he came in 13th overall. So I was
very good. Congrats.
And then in the standard, they also placed the standard runs. He came in 10th in standard. So very proud of my little boy.
Right. Yeah.
Now he's a bigger Papillon. He's what we refer to as a Papzilla. He's most Papillons are 7 to 9 pounds, and he's what, 13 pounds? And he's not fat. He's very, very thin. He jumps 12 inches. Most Papillons jump 4 or 8. He jumps 12. So he's...
Yeah, that's... Yeah, okay.
He's a big dude.
Yeah. So I'm never good about, like, the height at the shoulders or the withers or whatever. But what do you think he would be in NADAC?
When I did NADAC with him, he was a 12. And
he was a 12.
He was a 12 in NADAC, and he's a 12 in AKC as well.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. All right. That's interesting. So now, when we started, I think I said you're down in Maryland. Mm-hmm. So what during this pandemic year have you been able to go to trials, CPE and AKC down? I know Maryland is often a hotbed down there. There's a lot of NADAC. I would imagine there's a lot of everything down in that area.
Well, yeah, I trial a lot in Maryland and in Pennsylvania. Fortunately, we're a hotbed, as you said, we're a hotbed of just agility.
Right.
The thing is that with this pandemic, you know, I've just sort of had to come up with my criteria for my comfort level as far as, you know, how trials were going to be run. In the beginning, AKC was not requiring masking while running. And, I'm not going to get into the whole politics of the thing, but
that's okay.
That didn't really meet my comfort zone. So, CPE, they do require masking in the ring. Some clubs of AKC require it, but it's not everybody. So there were also some venues that I read about their, you know, how their club was going to run things. And you know, I came up with my own comfort zone and entered. I think we've only done maybe 6 trials since like July.
Right. Okay.
And it was so that
Done way more than I have.
Well, it was so that Hux could finish his Kate. We were in limbo with this title that we were trying to finish. And I knew, you know, I knew exactly how many trials I had to do. So I luckily found, I think, 3 different clubs I trialed with that did a really, really good job of managing what we're going through right now.
Right. And were these trials inside? Or outside?
One of the clubs is in a building, almost like a barn with doors that open on all sides. So it was almost like you're outside, but you're inside.
Yeah.
And it was very, you know, breezy. One of the clubs, the one where he got his Kate, they're called Breakaway Action Dogs. They're in Frederick, Maryland, and they really managed. I mean, I can't even imagine the work that went into planning the trial, but you know, nowadays they're encouraging people not to come in unless you're walking or running or working. And so, you know, many of us are crating out of our car. We're doing everything out of our car, which is no big deal. But right. It's hard for them to remember to come out in the parking lot and yell to people that we're walking level such and such, you know. So,
right.
But what BAD did 2 weeks ago, they set up a computer that was on Zoom that you could dial in and actually watch what was going on in the building.
Oh, it's great.
They also had a situation. You, when you got there, you would give them your phone number. And there was somebody in the club was texting everybody every time, like, we're building jumpers level such and such. You know, they kept everybody informed with what was going on. It was awesome. They did a beautiful, yeah. I mean, they even separated like where people, if somebody had a spectator, family members, whatever, who wanted to watch, they had their own, you know, segregated area where they could be. They did a great job.
Oh, it's good to hear. It has been a very strange year for so many things, and agility is kind of way down on the scale, but
all of the clubs, the three clubs that I tried, the other two clubs, they even do things. I mean, they're trying to think almost to the extreme. You know, they had ways to sanitize they now use leash grabbers instead of touching people's leashes. And they have ways that the leash runner can sanitize their hands. They have they don't let you go and just check yourself in at the gate. They they have one person while people are walking, they're yelling out, there is so and so here, because they don't want people, you know, being too close to that paper or touching the pen too much, or, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, they've really, really thought of just lots and lots of contact issues that could happen.
Yes. Yeah.
So now we're pretty much high and dry till somewhere in the new year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know what I'm trying to ask here. When you were doing NADEC, did you ever come? I'm just curious if you ever came up to Southern New Jersey to like the In the Zone.
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, In the Zone, that was one of the clubs that I frequented their trials. And I did do, I don't remember the location. This was back in the day when everything was outside, outside. And this was almost like a fairgrounds, it seemed like.
Right. I'm actually asking this question because I go down there, and I used to go down there with Dino, and I'm just trying to think, did I maybe run into you down there? Well, that's where I was leading on this question.
Actually, the photo that's on your podcast, your dog looks very familiar to me. So
yeah. However, that dog is my sister's dog, Belle. Okay. Yeah. Dino was most likely, if we ran across each other, I was running Dino, but Dino was also another beagle, and he was a character sometimes. He would like howl in the middle of the ring and things like that. So I was just thinking, because I do know I remember seeing some papillons down there over the years, but I just can't remember. I saw you. I don't know what you look like either.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I wouldn't have done NADEC in New Jersey with Hux, but I've done AKC in New Jersey with Hux at Dream Park. Have you ever been to Dream Park?
No, I know of it, but I've never been there actually. No, I know that's a big place that AKC
it's a big AKC.
Uses.
That was the last trial that I did of the year in, I guess, February before
the shutdown.
Everything
of
got
things.
Canceled, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it's been this year, that's for sure. So I just because I don't know CPE that well, and you've mentioned Hux has the catch, and now he has the Kate, I guess you call it. But the catch, the CPE, agility, I don't know what their initials stand for.
CPE, agility, trial champion.
Okay. Very similar to Natch or whatever. What you mentioned, some of the classes of CPE, is that just like the regular class or the standard class that you have to get points in to get that title, or is it the different other classes?
No, so you have to do all of them to get a catch. And you have to do so CPE has levels 1 through 5. And then there's C, level C. We hold that to the side a little bit, because you have to get through levels 1 through 5 to get to C. But so all of them require different numbers of these classes intertwined. So in level 5, in order to get the catch, you have to do 10 standards and then 5 of all of the games. And there are 6 games.
Okay. All right. So you really have to go across the whole gamut of what CP has.
Now, they do have, you know how other venues, they have, you can enter your dog as preferred. And, you know, there are other ways you can classify the dogs.
Right.
So CP has 2 other classifications that you can do. You don't get out of running any less, but you can, there's one of the classifications, I think, is the specialist. And within that, you drop a jump height, but you can also, forego getting cues in one of the classes. So like, if, you know, if there's something that your dog just really is bad at, or it has, it always has a teeter or something, you know, you can
right.
finagle your way around, but you have to earn those jumps in something else, or jumps. You have to earn those cues in something else. So you can say, my dog doesn't like standard, for instance, because there's a teeter in there, and there's, you know, there's always a teeter, there's always weaves. But you can, you know, say, well, you don't even have to tell them. You just go, I'm not going to do this. But you have to make up those 10 cues in jumpers and snooker and, you know, whatever else to get the catch. And then you can there's specialist, and I don't know what the other classification is, but that one you can skip 2 classes. But, and I don't like to use the word skip, because you really do have to earn the cues. So,
right. It sounds like you still have to get this. You still have to get those cues, but you can put them into a different class, I guess. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. No, you explained it to me. That's for sure. I didn't know I was involved. So I have an idea now. I'll ask, have you done any, we've been mostly talking about agility. Have you done any other, dog sports with
yes, as a matter of fact, I have. So my other dog, Carter B, we tried for like 2 years. He knows all the agility equipment. He knows how to do things. Unfortunately, he doesn't want to do it. He's not having fun. And so right. we gave up agility. And well, first I took, we tried barn hunt. Nah, it's not, he wasn't crazy about the fact that there has to be someone else in the ring with you. And he was way more concerned about that than finding the rats. Although he did right. find the rats. But so I did a tricks. He has a tricks title. And then this summer, a friend of mine talked me into entering him in this. It's by AKC. It's called Fast Cat. And it is coursing ability test is the cat part of it. And it's a 100-yard dash that they do chasing a lure, and they're timed. And he loves it. Loves it. He comes running with his, you know, ears pinned back and smiling, and it's the most beautiful sight when they're running towards you smiling like that. But he loves it.
Right. So you found something that Carter B likes.
And the thing is, it was the most appropriate dog sport to do during COVID times, because it's always outside. They've gotten it down to where they only schedule so many people per hour, and you enter 2 runs per trial. So we knew exactly what time to show up. It's outside. You don't get any closer to anybody except handing your dog's leash to them, because you have to have somebody release them at the other end. So it became our perfect thing. And he, after 28 runs, he got his championship already. So.
Okay. I'm going to have to Google this one and watch some YouTube on it, because I don't think I understand it or have seen it. So your dog's, it sounds like, if I got this right, you can correct me, obviously, your dog starts at one end and then do you stand at the other, and then they chase
a lure. Yes. Yeah. So it's one straight lane that's the size of a football field. And
right.
and okay. they there's a the judge says tally ho, and the person at the other end, there's like a line that their feet have to be in front of before they can take off, and they go through a timer and they're chasing a lure. And he runs about, if you can believe this little thing, he runs 19 and a half miles an hour.
Wow, that sounds very fast to me.
Well, okay, you know, it's amazing until you look at, you know, border collies, whippets, they run like 27 miles an hour, you know, but still, yes. 19, I mean, I can't run 19 miles an hour, so...
No, neither can I. No, it sounds good. Is it just one dog at a time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They're not racing each other. Well, I mean, they are. They get placed, but there are placements, but.
Right. It's time-based, I guess, based on something.
And see, I think that's one of the reasons why it appeals to Carter's sense of safety, because it's not like people are not right up against that, you know, the barriers or anything. Like, people stay away, right. You know, and he sees me, and the lure operator just starts the lure, and he's like, whoa, you know, yippee, I'm running, and he loves it.
Yeah. So actually kind of sounds fun to me. Even
well, so watch. Have you ever just seen plain old lure coursing on TV or on YouTube or anything?
I have been so agility focused for most of my things. I don't know that I've ever seen just normal lure coursing. So, I don't
look that up on YouTube, because lure coursing is the same sort of thought. I think Fast Cat probably came from lure coursing, because I think they've had lure coursing for a while. But you know, they go out in the field, and I think it's 600 yards they run in a total lure coursing course.
Further.
And it's not straight. Yeah. It makes turns, you know, just like an animal would.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. I'll have to look at that too. The Fast Cat though sounds interesting. It's just a dash.
Well, it's a 100-yard dash. You know, I tell people, you know, if you have human children, some are into gymnastics and some are into track and field, and some are, you know, I said, Hux likes gymnastics and Carter likes track and field.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Definitely cool. All right. So we've kind of covered agility a bit. Is there anything else you want to share on agility?
Well, you know, agility, I started agility because of Picasso, and also because it was an activity that I could do that my dogs were welcome to do as well. Or, you know, they were allowed to be there. You know, there aren't many things that we can do where our little fuzzy friends are welcome. And, you know, this has just taken me in a whole new direction in life. It really does take up a lot of your spare time. I was talking to a cousin the other night about hobbies that I used to do that I just don't have time for anymore. But along the way, you meet amazing people, you meet even more amazing dogs that you know have become teams with their human parents, and you know it. There's nothing I'd rather be doing. It's when, as you know, because you run agility, there's nothing like when something just clicks in the ring, and there's no other thing that you could, you know, describe that is that fulfilling and satisfying. It's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. You get that high, and it doesn't matter what venue or, you know, what class and what venue you're running. When you have that really good run where you're clicking, your teammate and you are clicking, it makes you feel good.
I remember at a NADAC trial that we were doing indoors, and this place had, almost like a carpet. It was a soccer place, but it did almost like a carpet type of thing. And I was running Claire, and it was one of the first trials that she did after I started training excuse me, with Debbie Hutchinson. And
right.
excuse me, I'm sorry. And
fine.
Claire, I sent her in a tunnel. She came out of that tunnel so fast that she was she had to turn when she came out. So she came out and just went all the way down on her shoulder, you know, to get her footing to continue run. And I had never had a dog, you know, so I remember I emailed Debbie right after that trial. I was like, Debbie, oh my God. I said, you know, I know our desire is obviously not for them to go down on their shoulder as they're trying to turn, but I've never had a dog go that fast to try, you know, to try to, and those are the kind of things that addict you. So it's pretty amazing.
Right. Yes. Yes. And when you mentioned the running inside on a carpet, it makes, you know, I have not traveled to Maryland that many times for trials. And obviously if I went down there, it was for NADAC, but I do remember going to,
yeah,
Westminster, I think was the name of the town. The
yes,
Carroll
this
Sports
is the
Center
place I'm talking
time,
about. That was where this happened.
Yes, that's why I was wondering when you said carpet, because it was kind of a green carpet mm-hmm. in there. And I went down there a few times with Dino too, into that place. And he liked it there because most of the places we trialed were inside. And that was a place that occasionally I went to down there. And I would go there, and I think he liked being inside a bit. It's funny how you see how your dogs do there. And I never had to worry about the weather because he was very particular.
Yeah, Picasso was too.
So So outside trials, if it rained, well, he wasn't going to run. If it was too hot, he didn't like
running. And you know, that's the thing about agility. When you start this whole adventure, you have no idea. You know, it takes you years to learn. Picasso, like your Dino, she didn't like sun. She didn't like heat. She didn't like, you know, there were so many things that, you know, it, however, if it was bitter, bitter cold, she was the happiest dog on planet Earth. And it was like she sprouted wings and flew around the course. But it takes you years to learn your dog's limits and preferences. And your dog, unlike humans, your dog doesn't change, doesn't go, okay, well, I'll pull out all the stops for you just for this 30 seconds. You know, I'll be uncomfortable just for this amount of time. They're not going to do that. So it's interesting. So, and you know how they talk about the agility gods giveth and the agility gods taketh away. So you never know what that weather's going to be. But see, nowadays, just about everything's indoors. I'm trying to remember the last time I was outside.
For you, well, a lot of the trials that I didn't get to go to this year, they were pretty much all outside, a lot of them. There's some that are inside for me, but remember, I do NADAC. I'm in New Jersey. There's not a lot of NADAC here, so I always have to travel. And I travel up to the north quite a bit, to New York, Vermont. And then occasionally, there's still the In the Zone trial down in South Jersey. This year, just everything got canceled, obviously.
Yeah, I did quite a bit of In the Zone. They did at Hog. Have you ever been to Hog Dog that's here in Maryland, in Millersville?
I don't think so, because down in Maryland, I've only been to a few places. I've been to that Carroll Sports Center. I've been to, there was some other place I went to once, and I've been to Millersville, I think. It's like a dirt, but it's covered.
That's Hog
like
Dog,
white...
yeah. Uh-huh.
Is that Hog? Okay, so maybe I've been to that facility, but it might not have been that trial club.
Yeah. And well, that's where Lisa was having the in the Zone was there. CIA, I don't know, what do they stand for? Their CIA is
right. Canines in action or something, maybe. I don't know.
And Pawzaz, of course.
Pawzaz, yeah. Yeah, I know a lot of these groups. I just don't know which ones I've you know, I'd made a child under down there. I don't think it was in the zone at Millersville. I think it may have been one of the other ones.
Well, it could have been Artful Dodgers. That's Orioles. Orioles.
And when I say this, I'm actually not speaking for myself. I was there as an observer for Belle, my sister's dog, my sister's beagle, Belle. We were down there maybe 2 years ago we may have only gone one day too. I don't remember, but we were definitely down to the Millersville.
Yeah, it's a nice, very nice facility. I like her facility a lot.
Right. Yeah. Because my modus operandi is that generally I'm camping somewhere when I go to a trial. So I have a pop-up camper, and that's generally I'm camping somewhere either at the trial or somewhere close to it.
You're one of the lucky people. That's I always look at those and think, oh, I could be home now in my camper, but
yeah. Well, it's just a little pop-up camper. With this whole COVID year, it's like I've actually wished I had something better, because my camper doesn't have a bathroom or anything. So I only took it out once this year for just a week of vacation, when there was kind of a in-between zone there. And I had a week of camping out in Pennsylvania. Hey,
during this whole time, you know, I think just about anybody will go just about anywhere, you know. That sounds perfectly fine. It's not, you know, nobody needs luxury accommodations anymore. It's just, they just want to get out of the house.
Yes. And I'm looking forward to the point sometime, I'm hoping toward the end of next year, where things are back to normal. That's the wish that we all have.
Yes. From your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah. Right. All right. I don't know. Is there anything else dog related or not dog related that you think anybody, my listeners might find interesting about you, your dogs, or anything else before we wrap? Putting you on the spot. Like, sorry.
Let's see. No, I just hope that anybody who is interested in just building a really great bond with your dog, to just try agility. You don't have to compete in it just because you take classes, but try agility, try one of the other sports or activities. Nowadays, there are so many activities that you can do with your dogs that they can open your world up to traveling with your dogs or not. The sky is pretty much the limit as far as what you want to do with it, but it's very, very fulfilling.
I totally agree with you. And there are so many different things that you can do with your dogs. That's just great. So, all right. Well, I want to thank you, Terry, for being my guest and sharing your experiences. It's been interesting hearing a little bit about CPE, which I didn't know that much about.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, different venue. It's sort of a little bit political, the whole agility world. Of course it is, because humans are involved, right? So it's a little bit political. Right.
It can be, but as you just kind of said, it's like no matter where you're doing it with wherever you're doing agility with your dog, you're having fun, and it gets down to the same basic thing. It's supposed to be fun.
So,
and you want to do well too. I mean, there is the competitive element. I don't want to take that out of it, but. You know, it's you and your teammate doing the best you can on that course.
Well,
that,
you know, what I always tell people is when you're on the course, it's just you and your dog. There are a few other activities where you and this creature that you don't necessarily speak the same language, but you've taught each other's language and mannerisms and everything. And, you know, it's just kind of amazing that it's just the two of you. And for that 30 seconds, it almost feels like the rest of the world stops because you're concentrating so hard. And, you know, it's fun and exhilarating, and it can be stressful if you let it be stressful. But I remember I have a quote from Linda Mecklenburg on my bulletin board, and I'm totally paraphrasing, but it says something about no matter what happens on that course, when it's over, you make your dog think that they pleased you to no end. You go, you know how they always say in class, have a party. You need to have a party when they do something right. And right. She said, you know, the point is to make your dog want to do it again and again and again. And it's so true.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you completely. So, well, I do thank you for
thank
being,
you, Ed. It was my pleasure.
Being my guest.
I figured if Sam Leitz all could right. do it, I could do it. She's my idol, so I figured.
Right, and I do. You are another guest who I've gotten through Sam Leitz. I might have to start paying her a booking. Although I don't make anything from this podcast, but might have to give her a little commission because she is bringing a lot of guests to me, and I do appreciate that. That she has such a wide range of agility friends
her. I miss
across the country.
Watching her a lot. That Shotzi and Squeak. Oh. They're amazing teams. Amazing.
Right. Yeah. It's always fun when Sam's at a trial with her crew.
Yeah.
That's
you know, she
sure.
when she debuted Squeak, she wore a purple evening gown to run at Hog Dog in the dirt. Yeah. A purple sequin
nice.
Evening gown. So that's
very nice.
That's pretty much Sam. Mm-hmm. The thing is, she appears so silly,
right.
but then once she gets out there, you know it's all business, you know. So,
oh yeah, it's all business when it's on the course. Yeah, that's for
so,
sure.
Well, it was great that's meeting sure. you, Ed.
Yeah, yeah, it was really great talking to you. I have a feeling we've probably
sure.
been to a trial together. It's just that I don't think either one of us can remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty. I'm pretty
where
sure
or when it was.
We've had but, to have crossed paths in the last 16 years.
Yeah. Well, if you ever come back to a NADAC trial, especially, look for, if you see a beagle there, come up to whoever has the beagle and ask them if they're Ed Peters or Leanne Peters, because my sister, she
okay.
runs her dog, Belle. So if there's a beagle in NADAC,
okay.
there's a good chance it's one of us. All right. Well, thank you very much for doing this. And I wish you... I'll say that we're recording this the day after after Thanksgiving. So I wish you a belated happy
you
Thanksgiving.
Too.
A few final thoughts. I'd like to thank all my listeners for helping me grow the podcast. I've noticed recently an increase in the number of plays when an episode gets released. And I can only thank my listeners because I believe you're sharing the podcast on social media and mentioning it to your friends. I thank you very much for doing so. Remember, you can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, and if you go to the website offcourseagility.com, it will take you to my Anchor home platform where you can see all of the episodes of the podcast and play them. I want to thank Terry Tedesco for stepping up and being my guest this week. I got her on relatively short notice, and I thank her for coming on. It was interesting talking a little bit out of my comfort zone about CPE and listening to her describe CPE,
because as I had mentioned when I talked to her, I've really only gone to one CPE trial, and that was as an observer. I wasn't entered with a dog. I just went to listen, went to go see the trial. And I must admit, when I went to that, I was taken aback by hearing the buzzer going off for whatever class was being run at that CPE trial that I was at. Comparatively, a NADAC trial is relatively quiet. All you have is the judge, you know, good luck to start. Thank you if you've been on the course too long and he wants you to get off. Relatively quiet. No buzzers, no whistles, no anything like that. Not saying that's good or bad. It's just when you grew up as a NADAC person and you've never been to any other trials and you go to CPE, and I think AKC may have something similar, but don't know. Haven't been to an AKC trial. Only seen things on TV. Those differences can be a bit glaring to you when you're going just as an observer. Anyway, I do thank her for coming on. My next podcast I'm looking forward to. Hopefully everything comes together, and I will be having Lisa Schmidt as my guest. I look forward to that. I've known Lisa for a number of years, going to her trials down in South Jersey in the zone trials. And then my sister and I have both attended her seminar that she has held down at South Jersey in conjunction kind of with the trials. So I really look forward to talking to her. Until then, if you are trialing either via VT or going to an actual trial, I wish you happy trialing.